Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. When Panic Attacks, the new, drug-free anxiety therapy that can change your life is a self-help psychology book by psychiatrist David D. Burns, MDD, best known for Feeling Good and his work in cognitive therapy. The book focuses on anxiety in many forms, including panic attacks, chronic worry, social anxiety, phobias, test anxiety, obsessive doubts, and insecurity. Its central purpose is practical, rather than theoretical. Burns presents a large set of cognitive behavioral techniques intended to help readers identify the thoughts, assumptions, and avoidance patterns that sustain fear. The book also challenges the common belief that anxiety is primarily caused by chemical imbalance and argues that changing distorted thinking can produce major emotional relief. Written for general readers, it combines clinical explanation with exercises that can be used outside formal therapy, while also positioning itself as a drug-free alternative or complement for people seeking structured anxiety management tools. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anxiety is framed as a thinking problem rather than a fixed biological defect. A defining feature of When Panic Attacks is its challenge to the idea that anxiety is mainly the result of a chemical imbalance that must be corrected with medication. Burns instead emphasizes the cognitive model emotional distress is strongly shaped by the meanings people assign to events, bodily sensations, social situations, and future possibilities. This does not mean that fear is imaginary or that biology is irrelevant. Rather, the book argues that anxious suffering often intensifies when the mind interprets uncertainty as danger, embarrassment as catastrophe, or bodily arousal as evidence of imminent collapse. This framing matters because it gives readers something concrete to examine. A person who fears public speaking, for example, may not only fear the event itself, but also believe that a mistake would prove personal inadequacy. Burns directs attention to those interpretations because they are more changeable than external circumstances. The practical implication is that anxiety can be treated by testing thoughts, identifying distortions, and replacing automatic catastrophic conclusions with more accurate appraisals. The book, therefore, treats fear as a learned and reinforced pattern, not as an unchangeable identity. Secondly, the book treats many anxiety disorders as variations of recurring cognitive and behavioral patterns, rather than limiting itself to panic attacks alone. The book applies its methods to a wide range of anxiety problems, including chronic worrying, phobias, shyness, performance anxiety, obsessive doubts, hypochondriacal fears, post-traumatic symptoms, and body-focused insecurity. This broad scope reflects a key assumption of cognitive behavioral therapy. Different anxiety labels may involve distinct symptoms, but they often share common mechanisms. These include catastrophic prediction, intolerance of uncertainty, avoidance, self-monitoring, perfectionistic standards, and the belief that distress itself is dangerous. Burns uses this shared framework to make the book relevant to readers who experience anxiety in different forms. Panic may involve fear of bodily sensations, while social anxiety may involve fear of humiliation, but both can be maintained by distorted predictions and safety behaviors. The benefit of this approach is coherence. Readers are not asked to see each fear as a separate mystery. They are encouraged to recognize patterns that recur across situations. At the same time, the breadth of the book means that readers may need to select exercises carefully rather than assume every technique fits every anxiety problem equally well. Thirdly, cognitive techniques are presented as active exercises rather than reassurance. Burns does not present cognitive behavioral therapy as simple positive thinking. The book asks readers to work directly with anxious thoughts by writing them down, identifying distortions, and testing whether the thoughts are accurate, useful, or exaggerated. This distinction is important because reassurance often fails in anxiety. A worried person may temporarily feel better after hearing that nothing bad will happen, but the fear usually returns if the underlying belief remains unexamined. Burns instead encourages a more disciplined process in which readers learn to name patterns such as catastrophizing, mind reading, all or nothing thinking, emotional reasoning, and overgeneralization. Once a thought is made explicit, it can be disputed more effectively. For example, the fear that one mistake will lead to total rejection can be evaluated by looking at evidence, alternative explanations, and the realistic consequences of imperfection. The value of these methods lies in making anxiety observable. Instead of experiencing fear as a vague emotional flood, readers learn to break it into specific claims that can be challenged. The process is practical, but it requires honesty, repetition, and written engagement rather than passive reading. Fourthly, behavioral change targets avoidance, shame, and fear of discomfort. The book also recognizes that thinking differently is not always enough if a person continues to avoid feared situations. avoidance is one of the strongest reinforcers of anxiety because it provides short-term relief while confirming the impression that the avoided situation is dangerous. Burns, therefore, includes methods that push readers to test fears through action, often in gradual or structured ways. The aim is not recklessness, but experiential learning. The anxious prediction must meet reality. Someone afraid of embarrassment may need to discover that embarrassment is tolerable. Someone afraid of panic sensations may need to learn that bodily arousal can rise and fall without catastrophe. This behavioral dimension gives the book more depth than a purely cognitive manual. It treats anxiety as a cycle involving thought, feeling, body sensation, and behavior. Burns also gives attention to shame and self-consciousness, which are central in social anxiety and perfectionism. By encouraging readers to face discomfort instead of organizing life around its avoidance, the book shifts the goal from symptom suppression to increased freedom of action. The methods can be demanding because they require deliberate contact with feared experiences. Lastly, its drug-free emphasis is both a strength and a point requiring careful interpretation, when panic attack stands out for its strong drug-free orientation. Burns discusses medication critically and argues that anxiety can often be treated effectively through cognitive and behavioral methods without relying on prescription drugs. This position is valuable for readers who want tools that build skill rather than dependence on external relief. It also reflects a broader evidence-based tradition in which cognitive behavioral therapy has substantial support for anxiety disorders. However, the book is best read with a balanced understanding. Some people benefit from medication, some need professional therapy, and some face severe symptoms, trauma histories, substance use issues, or medical conditions that require individualized care. The strongest use of the book is not as a rejection of all clinical help, but as a structured guide to techniques that readers can practice and discuss with a clinician if needed. Its practical exercises can make therapy more efficient by giving readers a vocabulary for their fears and a set of experiments to try. The limitation is that self-application demands motivation, accuracy, and persistence, which may be difficult during intense anxiety. In conclusion, When Panic Attacks is especially useful for readers who want a structured, exercise-based approach to anxiety rather than a general discussion of stress or relaxation. It is well suited to people dealing with panic symptoms, chronic worry, social anxiety, phobias, public speaking fear, perfectionism, or recurring self-critical thoughts. Its practical benefit lies in teaching readers how to identify anxious predictions, evaluate cognitive distortions, reduce avoidance, and test feared outcomes in real life. Intellectually, the book offers a clear account of anxiety as an interaction between interpretation, bodily arousal, and behavior, which helps explain why fear can persist even when a person logically knows that danger is unlikely. Compared with many self-help books in the anxiety category, it stands out because of its clinical grounding, broad range of techniques, and insistence on active practice. It is less about comfort and more about skill acquisition. The book is not a substitute for professional care in every case, especially for severe or complex conditions. But it can be a strong companion to therapy or a starting point for readers seeking evidence-informed self-help. Its distinctive value is the combination of accessibility, specificity, and a firm focus on changing the mechanisms that keep anxiety alive. If you would like to support David D. Burns, MD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.